on SOFpodcast.com, iTunes, and on Square One Football Radio. This is The Sound of Football. Hello and welcome to The Sound of Football. It's another week's gone by and it's another Champions League week. If you might be able to hear it on in the background here. If I'm sounding tense, it's because Anderlecht have just got back to 3-2. So you'll realise what happens, of course. It'll all be old news by the time you get to listen to this. But yeah, just your host is sitting on the edge of his seat at the moment, looking at the telly. But joining me this evening are Terry DeFerlin and Jan Bilton, as usual. Chaps, hello.
Hello.
And our subject for this evening is no reflection on these two. It's all about weakened teams.
How amusing.
Yes. But before we get on to the meat of this week's discussion, it's going to be a return to last week's discussion, isn't it, Terry?
Well, we've had some feedback from last week's discussion. We do like feedback.
Yes.
Which was primarily about the NFL in London and then the prospect of the Premier League playing competitive fixtures overseas. And we've had a bit of feedback, so I'm going to read that to you now. Particularly thanks to Timothy A. Reader, who posted on Facebook, and I'm going to read all of it. It's fairly lengthy, but I'll give it a go.
That's okay.
As an American, good of you to declare your interest there, Timothy, thank you. As an American, I have to say the idea of EPL teams playing league games overseas just doesn't sit well with me. But I do wonder why an English fan is more important than an American one. I have been a Rangers fan, that's Glasgow Rangers, since I was a teenager. I bought shirts and jerseys and scarves and even subscribed to RTV. And I've lived through the administration, liquidation and boardroom battles. And I make sure my boy knows who the greatest team in the world is. But I was born a few thousand miles too far to the west. But does that make me any less a fan than someone who happened to have been born in Glasgow? If keeping teams playing at home is all about the fans, then what does that say to the fans elsewhere? Chelsea and Man City played a friendly here. 50,000 seats were sold in 20 minutes. Hundreds, perhaps thousands, from Chelsea USA travelled all over the country to see the game. Are they any less of a fan because they don't live in London? I went to the game as a neutral, as I did for Real Madrid v Inter Milan, and had a great time. For subsequent games against Argentina and Bosnia and Bosnia and Ivory Coast, I had rooting interest and still a lot of fun. So that's an interesting issue raised there by Timothy.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, I don't know whether or not we wanted to infer that you were your status as a fan was diminished by the fact that you don't necessarily live in another country.
No, not at all.
Country. Although I can understand why you might think that's what.
Yeah, I think over here it's an interesting point because I mean I think even up until recently, I mean actually there still is today, the feeling that if you come from at least 20 miles away from the club you support, you're somehow labelled plastic. Yeah,
plenty of plastic Reds down in London, didn't there?
Well, yes,
yeah, loads of them.
There's still a hangover from the 80s, the Liverpool boom. Still around.
Generations of Liverpool fans here have probably only been to Liverpool half a dozen times in their lives, if that. But their dads were Liverpool fans. Yeah. When I was a kid in the 1970s. It was Palace, it was Liverpool, Manchester United.
So overseas fans, we'll have to combat that as much as, say, someone from Epsom supporting Man United.
Certainly, Exeter Reds and all of that. So you're not alone, Timothy, in fact. It's probably just a fact of life, perhaps. Yeah. But no, you're no less of a fan, certainly not in our eyes. So, and a very welcome listener. Thank you very much for your contribution.
Yeah. So who else did we get
over there? Well, thanks very much to Rich Nelson for his contribution. But thank you very much to Eric. Schnicks B04, which is a Bayer Leverkusen reference. Eric is the host of the Leverkusen podcast, which is a Bayer Leverkusen fan podcast. And if you're a Bayer Leverkusen fan, you don't listen to the Leverkusen podcast and you're just not doing it right. He says, excellent gridiron episode, gentlemen. Terry's analogy of cheerleaders as bloggers at the beginning was my highlight. Thank you, Aaron. Then we've got this curious picture from a guy called Jan Bilton who's taken a picture from inside a gent's toilets.
Yeah.
I don't know quite what that has to do with anything.
I think if you tap on the picture,
I don't think I'm going to be tapping on anything, frankly.
I don't think so. I did a bit
the listener's imagination.
I did a bit of tapping in that toilet, let me tell you.
I bet you did, filthy bastard.
If you go on Twitter and search our mentions it, all will become apparent, I'm sure.
There was definitely no cottaging going on there, but I'd just like to point out.
There's a really good point here made, which didn't occur to me at all, and about you guys, from Tottenham Hotspur, US. The NFL's 9:30 a.m. start time here in the US had a big impact on the NBC's Premier League TV ratings. Spurs versus Newcastle was down 26%. So that match that I went to kicked off stateside, certainly in certain time zones, at 9:30 a.m., which coincides with when Premier League matches pretty much kick off over there for them. So he's pointing out that the NFL still is a massive draw because it affected the TV audience for the corresponding Premier League match. So food for thought there. An interesting point there. Thank you very much, Tottenham Hotspur US, if indeed that's your real name. I suspect it's not. Maybe an alias. And then finally, from Ali, 702 Gooner, who probably at this time is probably crapping his pants like Graham is while watching the Champions League. Really, guys? Really? NFL talk on my beloved Sound of Football pod? Stop it. I can't stand that crap. It's not football. Well, fair enough then. I think we'll let him have the last word on that particular issue.
Yes, well, thanks a lot, everyone. Yes, and if, of course, you know, it's open every week for you to get in touch with us and to vent your spleen or just, like, you know, congratulate us if we say something you actually like to listen to. Yeah, our contact details are at the end of the podcast. So, anyway, let's get on to this week's discussion. This week's discussion is... Weakened teams. Yes. Well, it caused a bit of a rumble on social media today because Brendan Rodgers has gone out with what a lot of people are commenting as being a weakened side against Real Madrid. They didn't start with Sterling, they didn't start with Gerrard, and they left Balotelli on the bench as well, along with Coutinho. And Henderson.
Yeah, that's...
Johnson. Johnson already?
Glenn Johnson, yeah, he's still on the bench. Yeah, and Brad Jones, yeah, well, of course, yeah. Well, that's a complete bench there. But but they have started with Kolo Touré and...
Emre Can,
Lucas, and Markovic has started there as well. Yeah, they're signing from Benfica, who I saw last year for Benfica, and it was rubbish. And Barini, who obviously was on loan at Sunderland last year.
He was.
Yeah. He's not a bad player, is he? He's not a weakened side player, is he?
Well, it depends whose side he's in. If he was in our side, then he'd be playing in a full strength side. I think in a Champions League side like Liverpool, I'd probably say he's not as good as Balotelli.
All right, so Terry, considering this is a Liverpool side that has just recently went down 3-0 at home to Real Madrid. What do you think on Rodgers' selection there? Do you think it's a good thing, or do you think it's something to kick to give these key players a good kick up the arse?
I wonder whether or not there's a kind of two reasons why he's done that. I wonder whether one is like, look, I'm going to use rotation because they got a big game at the weekend against Chelsea, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
As an excuse for dropping you. But I wonder whether or not he said to some of these players, look, I'm dropping you, but I'm going to be telling everybody else that I'm rotating you because we've got a big game against Chelsea. Or whether or not it is purely because he's going, right, now, we're going to lose this game, so I'm going to pull a Holloway or a Mick McCarthy and I'm going to go to Old Trafford, figuratively speaking, going to go to Old Trafford with a weakened side or with a non-first team side, which, you know, and... I don't know whether or not that's something that Liverpool fans will be entirely comfortable with. Liverpool are not as good a side as Real Madrid. Real Madrid are the European champions. Best team in the world, probably. But I think it's a big statement to go along there with that kind of lineup and possibly an admission of defeat before you've even kicked a ball. That's the criticism of fielding weakened teams in situations like this.
Yeah, because there is the thought that, you know, Real Madrid... The thought of going to Real Madrid is quite tempting for a lot of fans, and Liverpool do take a lot of people away with them whenever they go away in Europe. How fair is it on them to pay a lot of money to go to go that far and not see a full strength?
It's not fair at all.
No,
I mean, how much does it cost to go to Spain and stay for a night or so in the middle of the week? So you have to take time off work.
Yep.
And then there's all the costs that go along with that. I think it's, if I was a fan,
yep.
and my mate says, do you fancy going out to Real Madrid and watching Liverpool play?
Yeah.
Yeah, great, let's go on out. And you watch your, I think it would be a strong thing to say that it's a second string side. But then again, I'm a Sunderland supporter, and any of these players would fit nicely into my side. But I'd be a little bit pissed off, wouldn't you, Terry?
I don't know. Mm. I'm not sure, actually. I think I might be okay with it. I think I might not necessarily. I think I would look at it in terms of a club like this, a club like Liverpool, really shouldn't be showing this kind of weakness, you know, in front of Real Madrid. They should be seeing Real Madrid as being, equals,
yeah,
because of Liverpool's tradition and its standing. But, you know, in a more accurate footballing sense, that really isn't the reality. Real are a much better side, and perhaps there is a good reason. But also, part of me thinks I'm there to support the club. So does it matter who plays? The main thing is that I'm there to support the club. So I don't know how I would feel. I think the only way I would know how to feel would be as if I had a direct experience of it. And given the club that I support, that is never going to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
well, hopefully one day, Terry.
Well, who knows?
Let's not go overboard on this. This isn't actually a weakened side. This isn't like a Capital One Cup.
It's not a rubbish side. No.
I mean, it's not got Ricky Lambert in it.
But it is a side of plenty of teams that don't normally get selected for the first team.
Yeah. I suppose the thing is that where Rodgers is coming under the spotlight, I think, especially this season, is the fact that he has bought in a lot of players. He spent the money that he got from Suarez, and he spread it out a bit.
Yeah, which is the right thing to do.
I think that's something that's being discussed at the pages at the moment. The thought is that maybe he might have done a Tottenham with what they did with all the Bale money.
Hmm.
Where
that's the Gareth Bale money.
Yes,
rather than any.
Yes, rather than
misdemeanor involving the courts.
Yes. Yeah. True. Well,
just someone point that one out.
You never know these days, do you, really?
Sorry.
So, yes, with all that bail money they got.
They didn't need it for how.
Yeah, Dog the Bounty Hunter came after them.
Dog the Bounty Hunter outside White Hart Lane. I'd pay good money to see that. Good money.
You can just imagine him putting Daniel Levy in the back of his big car and then giving him a good talking to about like how wrong he's been.
With his old phone standing outside White Hart Lane saying a prayer.
Yeah.
Praying for Daniel Levy. Yeah. He finds the right path in the end.
Well, there you go, Tottenham fans. We've just solved all your problems there. have you actually seen your teams put out a weakened side? Do you think you're...
I have, yeah.
Yeah?
In the League Cup a few times.
Yeah.
We played experimental sides in the League Cup. Funny enough, we got to the semi-final that season, so it worked because we were playing teams who played even more experimental sides. I mean, we knocked out Wigan with Johnny Williams and with a fledgling at the time, Mile Jednak, who had big hair and had not long arrived at the club.
Mm.
It just goes to show you actually how these things can develop, because although Johnny Williams hasn't flourished, Mile Jednak certainly has, although not counting last night.
Problem last night, yeah.
But yeah, I've seen Palace field some weakened sides. You get championship teams fielding weakened sides in the cups now.
Mm.
Does happen. Because they feel they've got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, I've seen Sunderland. I didn't see them. I didn't go to the game, but we played Brighton away in the first round that we were in the League Cup without a recognised striker.
Right.
And strange enough, didn't score any goals.
Played like the France 98 team.
It was just there was no strikers at all. There's no one. I think we'll beat 3-0 that one. And deservedly so, because I think it was Steve Bruce was in charge at the time, who's going to do better things, I think. But he got it wrong though.
I suppose there is the balance though, isn't there? Because you've got doing it in a cup tie is just to say, right, okay, well, we don't think we're going to do very well in this guy. That said, Arsenal have done it quite a lot, bringing in the youth team and had a reasonable amount of
made
success
a virtue of it,
in the early rounds, especially when they play at home. Not so much when they're playing away, but if the draws are lucky for them and they're playing at the Emirates, they charge a tenner for people to get in. It's not as if people are paying premium for the. Although it might have gone up by now. This was a few years ago now that I remember going. it does give the opportunity to see new faces. But when you do it for a cup, I think that's people saying that's okay, especially if it's the League Cup and it's sort of fourth on your list. For the FA Cup, things start getting a bit different, don't they? People start saying you're not giving the competition the due respect it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it, especially with sides that haven't got Europe to go for, but they have perhaps got Premier League survival to go for.
Yes.
I seem to remember Sam Allardyce got into a bit of trouble, didn't he, for putting a weakened side out.
I think we did it in the Cup last year.
Yeah.
In the FA Cup.
Yeah.
I seem to recall Tony Pulis. And the understanding is that these guys have got a remit to keep their club. Their target is based upon league form, not upon cup form. And so,
do you think though that most of the complaints that were made at the time, I used to say that not giving the competition the due amount of respect it deserves, was probably more about the broadcasters or more about the fans?
Well, it's very difficult to distinguish between the two because the broadcasters, when criticising teams for fielding weakened sides, would just use the fans as a kind of, the fans are, it's letting the fans down. When in fact, I think, yes, it's probably fair to say that, the broadcasters are most upset because they are paying significant amount of money, particularly for the FA Cup, to screen it.
Yeah.
And it's not really being taken terribly seriously by the bigger sides. I know there's plenty of narrative and culture and stories in the FA Cup, some great stories, great romance, because of the way it's structured and the possibilities for smaller teams to progress relatively far. But the FA Cup can get a bit boring once you get to the quarterfinal stages. When the top teams are involved and they're not perhaps playing with the same kind of intensity that you would like them to. I think also the FA are unhappy about that as well because, they want to make as much money as they can from television broadcast rights. They don't want to see the competition diminished any further. But I do think that you do have to perhaps acknowledge that the Premier League at the moment is so important in the minds of the people who own these clubs that they do expect their managers to prioritise it.
Yeah, there's a thread running through a lot of our discussions recently. I hate to sound like a broken record, but when we were talking last week and we talked about advertisers and their influence. And I think that I think you're right, Grim. That I think the people that are more concerned about this are probably the broadcasters because they've paid a lot of money for it in the hope they can recoup that and then some. In advertising revenue.
Consider Birmingham City, who recently won the League Cup in the same season that they were relegated.
Yes.
Yeah. I would imagine that certainly whoever passes for the owners of Birmingham City, if indeed they have any, and certainly I would suggest to you a lot of the fans now, upon reflection, might think that they would swap fourth from bottom with that League Cup trophy. It would be interesting to learn, if we have any Birmingham City supporters, what their view is on that. Because they look at themselves now, and it would be easy to think to themselves, well, maybe we should have just fielded weakened sides for the League Cups and concentrated on staying in the Premier League, and maybe things would be different now. That's not to say that they would have been different, but it's easy for you to look back and think, well, things might have been different if we approached that season in a different way. So.
Last season with us when we got to the League Cup final and played Manchester City and gave them a good go, I think, there was, and we were very close to being relegated. The thought did cross my mind, would I rather go to Wembley and see Sunderland actually win a trophy for the first time in my life against one of the best teams in Europe and take relegation?
And what was your answer?
I wanted to stay up. And do you know what? I'm not proud to say that. I think in my in years to come, that would have been, had it played the other way, had we won, that would have been something nice to kind of carry as a memory.
Wigan, of course, is another example, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wigan winning the, I completely forgot, I don't know why I forgot about that. Yeah. I mean, that's an even bigger example because they won the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Beat Man City while they were doing it. Yeah. And yet, how many Wigan fans, you wonder, they might be sitting there thinking, well, we can still go back up, but... I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting what you say. I don't think you should be I don't think you should be feel bad about that point of view at all. You're perfectly entitled to feel how you feel. You know, if that's how you feel about it, that's great. I mean, I can't say I wouldn't feel differently. I don't know. I mean, it's not something that I've encountered directly. I mean, maybe it's something that will happen. I mean, we've reached semi-finals before. Mm. We've even reached a final before. Maybe if it happened again. If we weren't in a cup run in the FA Cup, well, Neil Warnock took us to the, you know, final. It's not completely out of the question. But we were like, you know, third from bottom. I'm not sure how I'd feel.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'd feel.
I suppose what I do want, or what I did want, is for us to win the League Cup. And to stay up.
Yeah.
Win, isn't it? Which didn't happen. And that's where I'm not sure what the rules are on fielding weakened sides, because I know there's been some clubs that got into trouble on this, because I may have read this wrong a long time ago, but I'm sure that the onus is on both clubs to field a side that they believe is capable of winning the game.
Yeah, I don't know about the cup matches, but in the league that's certainly the case. Mm. And we have had two high profile instances where Ian Holloway at Blackpool and Mick McCarthy at Wolverhampton Wanderers, Wolves were fined, and possibly Blackpool were as well. Certainly they would have been censured. And certainly they took a dim view, because I think the league is a different matter to the cups.
Mm.
I wonder whether or not perhaps it's more acceptable to lose, to get knocked out of the cups, than it is to just turn up at league matches, because the league's the bread and butter.
Yeah.
That's what you're there
for. But I suppose that this goes full circle, that you've still got supporters, and you've still got you know, everything else that goes, and suppose the team you're playing as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, suddenly a second string team turns up, and they're just like, oh,
well, there is brilliant. Quite.
We've got Liverpool in the next round.
The question of league integrity as well, isn't
heard any
so
of this
you've got the incident whereby you've got teams that are just not trying against other teams. So you know you've got an imbalance there, haven't you? If the next week another team that's facing relegation take their full team up to Old Trafford and they say, well, okay, well, we tried our best, but we still got hammered.
Mm.
And, you know, one player got injured in the process, then, you know, it questions the wisdom of it again. But then you've always got to have that integrity there, haven't you, at the league. If everyone's going to go out there and try to win.
Mm.
It's like at the end of the season, if a team's just run away with the title and three games to go...
Mm. And they take their foot off the gas?
Yeah.
Or they feel weak in teams?
Yeah. There's, well, look what happened to Bayern.
Yes.
Last year, didn't they?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, and ended up... There were teams right at the bottom that ended up beating them.
Yeah.
Affecting who
that can happen.
Yeah.
The other example is Manchester United.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
I think they played Hull on the last game of the season. Yeah. One season.
Yeah.
With either a weakened side, because I think they had a European final to go to. Nothing was said really there. And also the famous West Ham survival with Carlos Tevez, the unregistered, but not who should not have been registered, Carlos Tevez. Relegated Sheffield United after a fashion.
Yeah.
West Ham stayed up.
But Manchester United had a hand in that.
But they played
as well.
Manchester United at Old Trafford in that final game of the season. Mm. And they won that game 1-0. And everyone was focused on Tevez, because the whole thing, the controversy was Tevez. But I think to an extent what was ignored was that they went to Old Trafford. This is a team that was right in the bottom three in the Premier League, went to Old Trafford and won by 1-0. And you have to think to yourself, well, Manchester where's the sporting United integrity there? Because
but Manchester United didn't play their full strength side there, although Ferguson maintained afterwards. Who was Sheffield United's manager?
It was Warnock, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I think it was possibly in Ferguson's, in his book, but he said that I put out a side that I thought were capable of beating Hull. And he may well have, but he didn't put out his first string side.
Yeah, that Hull was a different season. But nevertheless, I mean, I'm sure that's probably what he meant. I don't doubt it. But I mean, the fact is that if you do choose to rotate, and, you know, also if you're going into the final game of the season and you are in your, as Graham uses an old expression very well, if you're in your flip-flops, you know, then, you know, you don't always play with that kind of intensity that you need to in order to maintain that. But I think you have to accept that that's the case. I also wonder whether or not there is a realistic case for players from lower teams who go to big matches and think to themselves, you know what, and I've got a winnable game next week. I'm gonna rest these guys, particularly if it's a midweek game. And I'm going to rest these guys and bring them back for a game that I think that we can win, and we'll just have to deal with it.
Yeah, I suppose there's no difference to Liverpool taking the same view with with how we started.
That is, which, that is yeah, how there's that.
That's
that
exactly
is,
what they're doing. They're playing, the season as a strategy,
yeah,
rather than just trying to go out and just, you know, they're picking their battles.
Rogers doesn't see necessarily, well, he does because he speaks the language very well, but he doesn't see Liverpool as this club with tradition, as a European Cup winning, a thoroughbred European team, one of the biggest, most famous football clubs in the world. He doesn't see that as being relevant when it comes to playing this game. What he sees is a strong likelihood that he's going to be running his players ragged against a team that he's almost certainly going to lose to, and then he's going to play Chelsea at the weekend. So he's made a strategic decision to rotate.
Yeah, and one of his targets will be, you've got to qualify for the Champions League next season.
Got to be back in the Champions League. He's not been charged with winning it. I doubt very much he's even been charged with qualifying for the second stage.
Mm.
He's been charged with getting back in there next season.
Yeah.
And given that it's his cock on the block, I think he's perfectly entitled to make that call.
And I think that's actually how they decide matters at Liverpool these days.
Cocks on blocks.
Cocks on blocks.
And there you have it, Luke.
That's an actual fact.
That is an actual fact. An actual scout fact.
Mm.
Well, the music started, so that's our cue to wind it up for this week. But join us after for some more sound football top trumps. But for me this week, Graham Tibley, and from Terry Fenner and Jan Dolan, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Join us again for another exciting instalment of Sound of Football Top Trumps. If you listened last week, you will know that Jan ended his long drought without a win, and actually seized control of the game.
It's definitely mine.
Yes, that's definitely yours. No, it's the Nielsen pack. There you go.
Seemed a bit small. I know it was the last one, but
sorry, listeners. I tried. I tried to steal his pack.
Being nubbled here, listeners.
Yeah, but Terry, yeah, it was a bit tense last week. Wasn't it?
Can I have that pack back?
No, you can't.
It was tense, and I made a bad call.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe you'll turn it around this week, because Jan, you've got the call, so go ahead.
I've got the strongest player in the pack here, and it's not Scott Parker. I've got Daniel De Rossi, and I'm going to go for Caps.
Caps.
71.
What would you go next?
I think you should go next.
I have Sergio Ramos.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. And these Caps are 83.
Mm.
Oh, because I've got Wesley Snyder.
Oh, that should be more.
80.
Terry's back in charge.
My reign of terror is short-lived.
Oh, dear.
Short-lived reign of terror.
Yeah. Join us again next time to support Sound of Football Top Trumps.
Okay.
There you go. Thanks
again. That was all I had in the lot of that. How many more have you got?
See if that's where you were. That's where you were last week.
Next week, either. You like the way that we covered for you there, while you melted,
while you fell apart. This week, welcome to the sound of Jan and Terry.
When I stop talking, shut up.